Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 guys. It's Hemp Day. Hemp Day. Remember, it's not Wednesday anymore. You can no longer call it Wednesday. It is officially Hemp Day. I'm going to keep rocking that until you get it. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, so Hemp Day is today, and Hemp Day Live is what you're tuned into. I'm Valerie Denise Jones, 929-477-1167. 929-477-1167. Now, today is a very, very interesting day. We're going to take you on a journey into 2019, and we're going to pull from energies. We're going to pull from our God spirit. We're going to pull a lot of things. We're going to call things, speak things into existence. Definitely going to do that. I spoke you into existence, meaning this network, meaning my international callers, meaning the countries that we broadcast in. I literally called my company Big Media Worldwide, and then it manifested, and it's going to continue to grow, much like cannabis that has spread across the U.S. like a wildfire, right? Cannabis has been underground I think that they were calling it weed back in the Cheech and Chong days. So, I'm just really, really excited about manifesting stuff. Really excited about platform growing. I'm really excited about you guys getting the information, bringing it back. I'm really excited about all of us investing, making money, having a great time doing it, you know, because this is definitely a worthy cause. It's going to give a lot of people jobs. This is what we have to focus on, guys. This is not a show about weed. It's not a show about getting high. This is a show about breaking generational curses. This is a show about empowerment. This is a show about, you know, being able to mimic what the larger agencies are doing. You can do that. Your dream is possible because of things like this. Right? So this thing just sort of hit us by storm, like I said earlier. It kind of spread across the U.S. like wildfire. Even though it had been here all along, it's natural. People have gone to jail for it. You know, it should have been legal a long time ago. It should have been accessible a long time ago. But now, you know, we're not going to worry about what happened to, you know, in the past. We're going to think about now, because now manufacturing companies, you know, just so many people are pouring in, and they are capitalizing on this situation. And that's a great thing. Why? Because even though they're making a lot of money, this thing is actually good for people. I mean, it's great. It has a wonderful medicinal value. People are making like dog treats out of it. People are making clothes out of it, body oils and lotions. I mean, it's got just so many healing properties, right? So that's what we want to focus on. And then outside of that, like I said before, people who have sense enough to start investing early versus later, these people are changing the dynamics of their financial and, you know, infrastructure. They're just really doing things, you know, finally in a position to live life the way that they see it. I was trying to remember what Raymond Dickerson told me about a blind man and a visionary. I'll just ask him when we get to that point. But, we have to absolutely, absolutely surround ourselves with positive people. We got to get information such as this. We got to educate ourselves, arm ourselves, and then the rest will just, you know, take care of itself, because, like I said, you're in the best place and the best hands. I want to share something with you right now, and then you'll know why I just went on that little rant, because I've really been in the spirit this past hour or so, man, just feeling good about 2019. I don't smoke, so no, it's not weed or anything like that. That's not what I'm on. I'm not high. I'm just high on life, right? God is just blessing me. So I'm just really, really thankful. But listen to this, all right? When we come back, we'll talk.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, every mind is a magnet. There's no avoiding that. The law of mind works for everybody. It doesn't matter what your race, your creed, or your color may be. And once you understand that your mind is a magnet and that it is always drawing stuff to you, you can learn how to become master of your mind, master of money, master of the good that you desire, and you can start drawing what you do want.
So, Reverend, what you're saying is the way people think about money can actually change their financial condition.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the law is, as a mind thinks, so is he or she. I've discovered that people actually kick money away from them with their mind, with their thoughts, with their feelings. So we want to get rid of all of these money rejection complexes that I mentioned. Everything, every old attitude that kicks money away from us.
You also talk about the N-word. Now, what is the N-word?
Well, the N-word is a never word. It's the one word that you should never say about money, that you should never refer to money with. Never, ever, again, use the term spend money. All day long, people use the term spend money, spend money, spend. And they wonder why their money is exhausted. Because, again, spend means what? Exhausted. Instead, what do you say? Circulate money. When money circulates and comes back to you, it circulates and comes back to you in a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment. Thank God.
All right, guys. Well, that was Reverend Ike. Hopefully, you know his work. And this show is not about, you know, you're getting into this business because of the money. That's not it. Like I said, I mentioned a plethora of things, the reason why this is good. This is good for jobs. I mean, like colleges and universities are pouring into this. I mean, it's just great for the economy. It's great for everybody all around. It just seems to be the answer. We're kind of suffering, you know, silently on so many levels, right? Whether it's your health, whether it's your spirit, like I said, finances, generational curses, just satanic attacks, right? And it's just, it would be different if we had different opportunities. People had jobs, because when you have jobs, you better communities, and you have better communities. I mean, just the world is just, I mean, your world is just better. The communities are better, you know. I don't know what to say. I'm just rattling because I'm really, really excited about this. But, again, I'm not saying that this is why you should get into it, but I'm saying why not, right? And this is why we're here. This is why we're pushing this every day. So, you know what? I want to bring in somebody who's more of an expert and can talk to you about this because I can sit here and just praise it just because of its value. She knows better. Welcome, welcome, Ms. James. How are you?
My queen, I'm honored to be a part of the show. And let me just say that when you have a hemp product, or should I say marijuana, I'm not sure about hemp, there's a male side and a female side to the plant. And same with Hemp Day Live, there are female entities on our team and there are male entities on our team. And today, at the last minute, the female entity of Hemp Day Live team is having to step in and work off of Plan B because we had the male entities in Plan A and things happened at the last minute. And we have to regroup and we hope that our male counterparts will be back. Even our guests there again, things happen at the last minute. Life happens, what, 25-8, and we have to move on. So today is Hemp Day Live. Remember, it's not Hump Day on Wednesday now. It's Hemp Day Live. So if you have your information ready, your pad and pen, notepad, whatever you want to write with, or if you want to do it in sign language, do it on a chalkboard or your recordings. Stay tuned, strap in, and it's an exciting time that we're in today. And I wanted to start off with a joke or two, and I'll start off with one from last week when it says, I ask, what do you call a person that eats marijuana? And the answer is a potbelly. A potbelly.
Potbelly? Yeah.
I'm going to keep my day job. I'm going to keep my day job. And they say that money grows on trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. And it's called marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a fact and joke at the same time. Meanwhile, my tablet went out, so I'm rebooting that, and my internet is out. I thought the internet was here yesterday, and it's not, so we're having to improvise. I was looking up on the internet earlier about even stocks. When you think about stocks for 2019, consider stocks in hemp, cannabis, and or marijuana. And that was one of the things that I was going to talk about today, you know, on the business side of what stocks you might want to look into coming into 2019. So get your savings accounts out, break open the piggy banks, and put a little bit something aside, because eventually we're going to be, and that's my tablet powering up again. Eventually one day we're going to be, senior citizens. But what do we do before then? Why not start having fun now, although there's a lot of commercials on, because we have a lot of baby boomers coming into, or second generation of baby boomers coming into retirement. So we have to start thinking about the long plan and what we're going to do later on in our years. But meanwhile, now, for those of us who want to join in and enjoy life, life happens every day, and when something comes down that you don't necessarily like, don't get down on yourself about it. Go to your local congressperson and have a marijuana spot open up in your neighborhood. No, I'm kidding. And you'll feel better. No, I'm kidding. But there again, there's so many things that are coming down the pike, even with the marijuana 40-20 rule, vapor pipes, if they're dangerous to how marijuana and hemp is helping us in our families as we grow our babies. And what age do we start children with alternative methods of health, cancer, and that the cancer is coming on at a more alarming rate, and we just have to kind of squash it. But I just had a little bug in my ear that my special guest, for the second time, I'd asked him to do a second show. And so he has, he's on the line now. So I want to welcome a friend of mine from Oaktown, which is a premier, capital in itself, Oakland, California, is premier in what they're doing in hemp and cannabis. I'd like to welcome back to Hemp Day Live the man, the myth. Excuse me, let me start that again. The man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Daryl Mooney. My king, I'm honored that you honored us with our... I'm so honored that you're here again, the second time. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Well, let me just ask you this. I'm a plan a trip up to Oakland to really see what's going on, probably shortly after next year, and I would love for you to join me up there. You're already halfway there.
What are you going to go up there for?
I want to see exactly what they're doing in the Bay Area and possibly do a live remote and bring you up there from the business standpoint and how your company can give us an influx of capital for those who want to get into the hemp business. But if it's not the hemp business, you're still a source of capital. Plus, get their credits straight. Get your credits straight. And no, I am not smoking today. I am just so excited. I hear the vibe and the line from Daryl. So he makes me a little nervous. We go all the way back to high school. So it's an honor for me to really have somebody on the line that we go back so far.
Yeah, I'm definitely due on coming back up to Oakland. I haven't been in Oakland in years. Yeah, I'm definitely due. I'm definitely due for Oakland, for sure.
Well, let's make it a trip that's worthwhile. And really some discovering up there. And I haven't been in a couple of years myself, but I try to keep in tune on the internet and what's going on. Plus, I understand there's not a lot of us left in Oakland.
Really?
Yes.
Are you serious? Wow.
I don't lie about something like that. I was shocked. But it's not just Oakland. That's happening all over the company. All over the company. All over the country. Nationwide. And I'm sure you're aware of that. But at the same time, the one entity that is coming in, no matter who's in the neighborhood, is the cannabis stores and all their paraphernalia that's coming into it. But I had looked up an article about stock in 2019. Can you give us any hints? Is that anything that you do in your company is possibly recommend stocks as far as diversifying our portfolios?
Yeah, we have a trader who does option trading in the company. She does a stock recommendations for cannabis. We day trading. We don't do that. It's more for option trading and covered calls and things like that. In day trading, what we specialize in, we're pretty much trading on the stocks that are hot that morning, that are hot and moving that morning. So that could change and be any stock at the time. So it wouldn't now for covered calls, cannabis stock is more appropriate, but not for day trading, because option trading, you're dealing with covered calls and puts and options that you can buy for future movement, meaning in a month's time, you're buying for the move in a few days or so and so and so forth, where, again, we're day trading. Everything is happening right now, instantly, right now, instantly. So we haven't had cannabis stock even come up in day trading yet. So, again, it's a different kind of animal. But we do know that stocks in the hemp industry are very hot right now. But, again, it's more or less buying and holding and predicting which way it's going to go. And right now, when one does buy a stock regarding cannabis, you're buying it for it to go bull. Bull is up, bear is down. So right now, cannabis across the board is bullish.
Bullish, wow. What a word to say, bullish and cannabis in the same sentence. How about that? I pulled up this article, and it says, it was in Motley Fool, if you don't mind me sharing, top marijuana stocks to buy in 2019. 2019 could be the biggest year ever for the global cannabis industry, and these are five stocks that may be the winners. And this was dated, article dated December 18th this year, 8:36 p.m. You could literally.
Do they say in the article? I know they say in 2019. Do they say when? Are they talking about January, or are they talking about a specific month?
Right here, it doesn't say. It just gives a particular outline. But if I can share maybe the first couple of paragraphs, I don't know if that'll make a difference. But I also email you this article as well.
Yeah.
So if I don't get to the answer will. I don't want to leave you hanging. It says you could rightfully call 2018 a turning point in the marijuana stocks. Canada legalized marijuana for recreational use by adults. Michigan became the 10th U.S. state to legalize recreational marijuana, while Missouri and Utah joined the growing club of states that allow medical marijuana. And in November 2018, elections resulted in more representatives in the U.S. Congress who support changes to the federal laws regarding marijuana. All of this could mean 2019 emerges as even better year for marijuana stocks. Canada could move past the initial supply chain problems with this recreational marijuana market. The country is also likely to legalize cannabis edibles, including cannabis beverages, concentrates, and then the U.S. prospects for the federal government to leave marijuana legalization to individual states appear to be better than ever. So it's state by state and country by country. So the latest country is Canada. But here, as we said in a previous show, some of the cannabis businesses that are opening, they can't keep it stock because the people are going in there, they can't turn it over fast enough. So just stay tuned here to Hemp Live, Hemp Day Live on Wednesdays, Daryl Mooney possibly once a month, and then our other marijuana experts in the news. We will keep you informed of what's going on. And I understand that we have a couple of callers that are calling in, and we're going to be looking at that at probably about within the next 5 minutes. And, Gerald, we're so glad that you're here. The callers who want to call in to our number, those that are already on the line, please press the number 1 if you have a question for Gerald, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mooney, or myself, Andrea James. And if we can't get to the answer, we sure will. And we're going to be going to commercial at 4:30. But if we can have those people that are brave enough that want to challenge us with a question, or if you have a suggestion or a fact that you want to share with us right now, please step up to the board and don't be scared. We won't hurt you. We're just here to inform you. Press the number 1. But, Daryl, that's really interesting how just this industry alone is, we don't know how long it's going to be around, but the fact that it took, when you and I were growing up in Oakland, what it was then and what it is now is two totally different things. It's just off the chain. But I'm looking here, and it's say, for example, marijuana producer, $34,527,444,000,000. These are in Kush Company Holdings, Initiative Industrial Properties, Constellation Brands. I'm actually reading off names of stocks. See, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's the 5 that they mentioned. Oregon House, Liberty Health Sciences, Cushco Holdings, Innovative Industrial Properties, and Constellation Brands. And who knows what else is going to be added to this. Possibly a company that Daryl Mooney and his company have. They'll be on the stock exchange in not too far future. What do you think about that, Mr. Mooney?
Yeah, the main thing company is the intrinsic value of a company, our focus as a company is not the it being on the stock exchange. Our focus is continuing to develop the intrinsic value of the company. The intrinsic value of any company is the quality of the company, the quality of the leadership, the goals and the projection of the company, and, of course, the money that the company is making. So all of that becomes the intrinsic value of the company. So when people invest in the future bull, meaning profits of a company, they always research the intrinsic value of that company first, and then they're able to predict what that company how that company is going to perform. We're talking about the law of probabilities. That's what trading is all about. Your trading is you're looking at the what they call it's past performance, it's current performance, and then you're able to look at, it's called pattern recognition. You're recognizing the pattern of what that company has done, and then the probabilities will say it will stay in the same pattern. Does it always work? No, it doesn't, but it does give you probabilities where you take that risk, that calculated risk of where it's going to go is based on the pattern recognition. And the pattern recognition is when you read a chart, is how it has performed, meaning it will perform like that again. And that is because of the intrinsic value of the company. You know that people, because of the quality of the product, they're going to buy that product again. It's just a matter of following the trend. The trend is your friend. The trend is your friend. And recognizing that pattern of how it's performing on the chart. If it's a new company, it's a brand new company, then again, it goes into the intrinsic value. You research the owners. You research their history of their performance with other companies. You research the product and the quality of the product. You research the testimonials behind the product. Are they good? Are they bad? What science is on the product, and so on and so forth. And that is the intrinsic value, which what lets you know how that product may or may not perform. And then you purchase the stock and a buy manner is if it's going to go bull, a sell manner is if it's going to go bear, meaning it's going to go down. It's not going to perform well and from the trend. So if the trend says, you do the trend by candle reading, candles. I don't know if you know what candles are, but candles,
Carol,
are part of.
I'm sorry. Let me just say that what you're saying is totally foreign language to me, to the point that that's one of my things on my to-do list for 2019 and beyond, is to start learning the language and the lingo, because I will be start getting involved in stocks. So it's right on time.
Yeah.
Even though it's over my head, you got me hanging on every word, and we're going to be taking a commercial break in about a minute. So if we don't get to finish that thought now, we'll finish it on the other side.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Support and resistance. Pattern recognition is support and resistance. Reading candles. These are all, it's a language, and these are all tools within a chart. You know how when you look, have you ever looked at a trading chart, Andrea?
Yes, I have. Didn't know
okay,
what I was
when you
looking
look at.
At
Okay,
but
great. You don't know what you're looking at. What I'm telling you is the things that are involved in the chart that you are looking at.
Okay, Daryl,
okay.
Let me stop you right there. It's 1:30.
Yes.
We're going to be taking a station break. Hold that, everybody. Just freeze where you are, and we will be right back, and we have some callers on the line.
Throughout history, there's always been the same question. How come black people don't seem to get further on the economic scale? This is a question with multiple answers. First comes slavery. Second, not knowing our history. And last, not sticking together. There's a beautiful African proverb that we unfortunately seem to forget. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. This quote still stands for today. If we as black people want to get higher on the economic ladder, so where do we start? Well, by supporting black-owned businesses. Money is not the solution to our problems, but a tool to build our own economy. The time is now to support black-owned businesses. Black Economic Network, where black-owned businesses come together.
I pray you're enjoying today's show. Please, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this episode on social media. Also, visit ValerieDeniseJones.com for additional updates. Now, back to the show.
All right now, Hemp Day Live listeners that are calling in and or just listening in from around the world. And we want to also recognize and thank our international listeners that are on today, as well as those domestic individuals that are either calling live, listening live, or in your own time zone. And we want to thank our guest, Daryl Mooney, for being here today. We do have a caller, and we appreciate the callers. And we have a caller from area code 678. And I am your host, Andrea James, and I am holding down the show this afternoon in lieu of our male partners. And we have a caller in area code 678-698. Thank you for calling in. Are you there? Caller 678-698. Good afternoon. Thank you for being a part of Hemp Day Live.
Well, good afternoon, my queen. How are you?
I am fabulous. Oh, my gosh. I think I know who this is. This is the one and only another living legend, man himself, the myth, Mr. Michael Kay.
Well, I didn't know I was a legend, but I appreciate it. I would like to be one, but I appreciate you.
Mr. Michael Kay, let me introduce you to the other man, the myth, the legend, Daryl Mooney.
How you doing, sir?
Great. How are you, sir?
Very good, very good. I just have a quick question regarding the, you know, with the legalization of marijuana going through different states and everything, but there's always been the same question from people, and I want to get your input on it. So what happens to all the Latino and African-American males or and even females that are still incarcerated for what is now going to be considered like a misdemeanor? In a sense, they weren't moving no heavyweight. But, you know, what happens to those convictions now that you have these dispensaries and these businesses starting selling marijuana? Should these people – well, I'll let you answer. Do you think that these folks should be released or be put on probation? How do you think they should handle that? Or is it something where, hey, they have to finish their time and then after that it changes? Hello?
Daryl?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Because I find it interesting that, you know, there's people who are starting these businesses and they're making profit, which in turn these individuals who are behind bars were trying to make money, just like these folks are doing now. In California, I was just reading something that I found interesting. Where I think they said Prop 64 is what was voted on, which passed. But I just kind of wonder if anybody had any comment on what should happen to individuals who are still incarcerated, who, you know, were actually distributing marijuana, and now we got it as a business. So I don't know if anyone has a comment or what they may think should happen.
Well,
Andrea,
I want to say that we can start locally, going to our local city officials, statewide, and also nationally. And those who want to go to D.C., hit him up too, to find out what are the laws being changed right now. But it is things that are into effect. How far, I don't know, but people are starting to do research. Matter of fact, that would be an excellent sideline or a job for attorneys or even paralegals that want to get some money on the side and start doing some research for these people that are incarcerated because of these things that they're incarcerated for that are now laws. They're on the book as laws. So what do you do? That's kind of a question mark. Wow, they've already served their time. What they're in for is now legal. So that's kind of an oxymoron. Open the doors and let them out, especially if it's marijuana and it's now legal. As Pastor Michael Gay said, people are now making money off of it. So, and maybe it's something I'll even look into that I want to keep my guests informed. And I want to thank you for that question, Michael. And please tune in whenever you can. Michael's a plethora of information as well, and he's entertaining the internet airways as well. But I think this might be his first time on the show, so and I thank you again, Michael. We have another caller that's calling in, and it is area code 985-713. If that is someone who held the number one up, area code 985-713.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Mr. Dickerson. Yes, we can. How are you today? Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence on Hemp Day Live. Do you have a question?
Well, great. I wanted to answer the last question that was presented to Mr. Mooney. Actually,
please.
As of yesterday, Congress just passed the Prison Reform Act to help release those individuals for those misdemeanor crimes, such as marijuana, which might have been a little foresight on their part, knowing that legalization of marijuana was coming down the pipe. So recently it just passed the Senate and is going to the House. I think it passed by a vote of 87-12. So criminal justice reform is almost law, which means that retroactively these individuals that went in there for three strikes, you out, or for having more than 4 or 5 ounces of marijuana and was locked up for these long periods of time, will be rectified with the passage of this particular bill or law. And
okay.
Another thing that I found interesting, and I was doing some research because I spent a lot of time watching cable news networks, and the former former Speaker of the House, John Boehner, is actually having a summit on the legalization of marijuana. And he's going to discuss how cannabis could become our next trillion-dollar industry, every step to full legalization, how the average American can profit from this explosive phenomenon, the next market-doubling event, stops prime to create the generation of marijuana millionaires. And this is the former Speaker of the House, Republican,
it is.
Conservative.
Yes.
And if you Google it right now, he's holding actual summits to tell people how they can make money off of this product. So that's how entrenched it's in everyday society now.
How do you spell Boehner? How is he spelling his last name? I'm looking.
Boehner is
myself.
Spelled B as in Bravo, O E H N E R. John Boehner.
Great, thank you. Well, he's now he's on the other side of the business.
Absolutely.
What he was doing before, he's on the other side. What do you think about that, Mr. Mooney?
I think that's interesting. You're saying they're talking about they want to put up a law to proposing it to let people know go of the crimes, the misdemeanor crimes. It only makes sense. I mean, you remember alcohol prohibition days back in the day
when all of that alcohol was, you know, going in the underworld, and it was illegal to move that alcohol across the cities and across the country. But what happened is it became so popular, they made it legal, and then once it became legal, now the question is, did they put all those people who were doing and moving the alcohol illegally and that they put in jail, did they let those people out of jail? I mean, it only seems natural to do it, but think of all the people that have done a tremendous amount of time right now already because of that fact of moving the illegal marijuana. So it was unfair. It's still unfair. And today you're looked upon as a degenerate toward the community because of that. But now because it's legal, same plant, same marijuana being moved, but you're regarded in amongst many quarters with respect because it's legal. It's funny how a governmental law or city law can change the attitude toward the same product and change the attitude toward that product, that member who's moving that product. You go from a villain to a hero just because a law has changed. That's pretty incredible that a government or city just has that much power over the attitude of a people.
You know, I agree with you on that point. But I think what they've done with this particular product, before they decided to make the legislative changes, they decided to make the branding changes. First of all, they started to tout the health benefits of not marijuana, but hemp. And then when it started to move into the major production of it, they didn't call it marijuana anymore. They called it cannabis. So you change the name of it, make it sound a little bit more presentable, and you rebrand it as cannabis and hemp and not marijuana, weed, or herb. So they changed the title to make it sound a little bit more palatable for the public.
Right. Same thing, though, right? But it's the same product, correct? Okay, so I'm saying change the word, change the brand. All of that is psychological. All of that is psychological. So it's amazing how powerful social engineering is. And then people wonder, how are we brainwashed? And it's literally a form of brainwashing. It's a form of mind control to be able to change an attitude with branding, with words, and everything that you're talking about is just amazing to observe, in observation, to observe it happen in real time, the effect of social engineering and what it can do to a human being. I mean, my grandmother can look at it years ago and look at me smoking marijuana, and then years later, now look at me smoking cannabis, and I'm using this as an example. I'm not saying that's something I do, but an example, she can look at me, a cousin or whoever, and look at me differently just because of the change of psychology. That is incredible to me. That's what I was bringing out. So, yeah, but you are absolutely – it's just incredible.
They did it with the drug problem, too. When we had crack in our neighborhoods, it was a drug problem. When we had opioids, it was more or less an epidemic that needed to be treated medically. Crack was treated by criminalizing the individuals and incarceration. Opioids, you know, is treated by medical treatment and no jail time. And like I said, the branding, both are drugs, both have criminal penalties, but one where you go to jail, the other one you go to the hospital.
That's interesting also. But what's also interesting, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm listening to this
not to take it off the topic,
but you have your private prison industries now. And they are looking at suing the states because they can't keep the prisons full. So now when you look at okay, we're going to let these people go. Yeah, look it up. We're going to let these people go, you know, which is going to make the prisons a little less crowded because, as you well know, a lot of folks are in prison for, you know, for marijuana and certain drugs. And on the opioid thing, yeah, that's kind of crazy how it's an issue now, but when the crack epidemic was out there, it wasn't getting them help. It's getting opioid addicts help.
It was a problem.
It was a problem, yeah, but it's becoming an epidemic now. It is becoming an epidemic in your rural areas. Here in North Georgia, you got an epidemic in North Georgia, to be honest. But I find it interesting of where, you know, now here you got these, as I said, private prisons wanting to sue the states. So where does that lead to? You know, everybody's trying to make money on both ends. They're trying to make money on the product, and they're trying to make money on the inmate or the person who was selling the marijuana or in possession of it. And I like what you said is that when you change the wording as far as it being weed, marijuana to, you know, cannabis or whatever, oh, now it's a whole different product, but it's still the same thing. That's all.
So I'd like to ask a question. So go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, here's a question to you gentlemen. What about individuals who are still being busted for illegal sales of marijuana today and are going to jail? Are they getting any kind of different treatment now, or is their treatment the same as it was in the past?
Well, what I would say to that, like I said, I was watching a network or cable news earlier today, and the bill for criminal justice reform just passed the Senate and is going to the House. If that bill passes, then the limitations set for criminality of marijuana should be dropped, so it shouldn't be an issue. But, you know, how everything filters through the system. It may take some time to get through the system, and that huge prison industrial complex is going to make a few dollars off it while they can before the doors close on that method of profitability.
So that so that means, like the gentleman was saying, that the prisons are suing. So that means a lack of prisoners. So that means they're going to have to get prisoners from somewhere. So where are they going to go and get those prisoners?
They're going to probably find something else to make criminal that affects black and brown
people. And you know it's going to be
something.
You know it's going to be in the black community.
One example, I was just listening to some of the information that Ms. Andrea was putting out. What happened recently was the biggest, first of all, when you want to legalize something, you want to limit the supply of it. The biggest supplier, one of the biggest suppliers of marijuana coming across the Mexican border was El Chapo. They shut down his operations. Then our president, 45, say, hey, listen, we need to build a wall to stop the flow of illegal drugs coming across the border. But what a lot of people don't realize is Canada just recently legalized marijuana so it can come across that border with no restriction. So what are we doing? We're penalizing the brown people for making money off a product while other people on our northern side can just have it flow across freely. And we're going to build that wall to stop it.
Okay, Mr. Dickerson, thank you for that answer. I have to let you know that we do have another caller. Someone else did press the number one. No, there's no sorries here. We welcome you. So the fact that you showed up, I'm very appreciative, Mr. Dickerson. The caller from, it's area code 858-322. Area code 858-322. Caller, thank you for pressing the number one. Knock on bite. Hello. Thank you. Who is this? Announce yourself. Thank you. Hello.
Yes. Hi. This is Ali calling from California, San Diego district right now.
Hey,
yeah, this
Ali,
was.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I was just listening. I wanted to know if any of you guys on the line here ever smoked weed, marijuana, or cannabis for the last 20 or 30 years. I just wanted to know if you guys are weed cannabis adapters. If you know, it's not no big deal. I just wanted to know.
Well, my name is Raymond Dickerson. I have
absolutely smoked in the last 20 years. Yes.
Okay. I'm talking about like, okay, so anyway, that's great. So listen, this is what I want to say, though, as far as cannabis and weed and all that, it's always been cannabis, you know, and also flowers. It's always been that, you know, it's just that, you know, it wasn't abroad like, you know, it is now, you know, when they're trying to make it legal, they're just using all the different names that it's been called over the years, you
right.
know. So they're not really changing the curriculum, but they just, you know, digging in with the 215 law did already with the medical and medicinal weed already. But here's the thing. It's legal for the state. It's still illegal in the federal. So when you talk about people going to prison and all that, you know, yeah, it's going to still go down. You know, the feds are still raiding folks. The feds are still against weed. It's the state of California that's legalized it. So they're still in trouble, you know, as far as that. You know, and basically, everybody on the street, the Mexican brothers and black brothers and white brothers and everybody, Jamaicans, everybody that was selling weed back in the days, cannabis flowers back in the days, 70s and 80s, 90s, they still selling it. They didn't open no dispensary. They still got brothers coming from around the block, you know, what's up, Jose, man, let me get one of them dubs, man. You know, it's still going down like that. You know, so
right.
everybody is not abiding to, you know, dispensaries because they think, you know, it's a setup, basically. And also, you know, everybody don't want to be on Front Street like that, and they like to get their money underground. They don't want to be out there even though it's legal. It's a trap for most of the people because they want, like you, who one of the brothers was saying about the prison capacity. Well, you know, they still getting them. You know, the states are telling the feds on some of the people that's, you know, members or certified through the state, if they get mad at you, you know, they'll let the feds know where you at. But that's why they're asking you all that information, just to make you a cultivator or grower or distributor. You know, you got to give up an arm and a leg and a neck just to be able to do it.
But there's a lot of people who don't want their business out there of seeing you going into a dispensary, you know, just like, you know, guys.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Right.
Let me finish, brother. So basically, you know, all I'm saying is there's stocks out there, the people that make money, you know, and all that. And people ain't going to get involved in that, not too much, you know, because they don't want to be out there like that making that kind of money. But there is stocks, street stocks. And the street stocks never stop, you know. And as far as you know, El Chapo, yeah, he was moving weed, but it was that boo boo weed. It wasn't that chronic, man. You know, so we gotta be very identified. Oh, what that one? That's all I wanted to say. I love all y'all. All y'all got some good insight, and I thank you for your wisdom. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ali. I'm gonna say
I'll recall a time, and I used to smoke weed. I mean, and I used to deal weed years back when I lived in California. You know, the money that I made, you know, it was like I had a job. I mean, that wasn't my only job, but I had a job. But I used to sell weed, and by the way, with some good quality stuff, too. I had that Bahama Mom. But anyway, I remember back, you know, there was a time I remember I got stopped by a cop one time, and he found some weed on me, and he just made me pour it out. You know, he was like, just dump it. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. Well, I knew of him, but he didn't know me. He just made me pour it out. And I was pissed, to be honest, because that was my last bag. But when you look at what's happening now, as Ali said, you know, there's guys who are still getting weed from other connections other than going to the location and everything. As just said, you know, some people don't want their business out. That, you know, you don't want to be seen where someone say, hey, didn't I see you go inside that building? You know, they rather do it on the cover. They rather do it that way. And not everybody is going to be allowed to go and buy weed. You got young kids. I saw a video where young kids were asking individuals to get them a joint or get them a bag, and the folks who were going inside these places were like, no, I'm not going to do that. So where's that kid going to go? He's going to go to the distributor on the street. So it's going to be out there in both forms, or it's going to be available in both ways.
I want to ask you guys a question after you're done.
Here's a question to
all the grown folks that have smoked or that are smoking now, whatever. Here's a question. Is there a change in the quality of the marijuana since the dispensaries exist now? Is there a change from the Bahama Mama that the brother talked about, the Chronic that the brother talked about, and then the dispensaries? Has the weed changed? Because a lot of people are saying the government is growing the weed in the dispensary, so it's watered down now, or they're programming it to control your mind. There's all kinds of conspiracy theorists. Is there a change with the marijuana or the cannabis today from the good Chronic and the good Bahama Mama to the dispensaries right now? Is there a change?
Let me speak because I smoke from the dispensary and on the street. So let me say this, man. Marijuana and the milligrams in marijuana, they got CBD, THC, and then you got THC2. Okay, now that's what the person that's smoking. Knowledge and research is going to have to come in at. If you're buying something, like your brother was saying, on the stock market, you know, you want to find out what that stock is, how it's doing, what it's been doing, and how long it's going to be up there, you know, something to that effect, right? Well, the same thing with marijuana. You're researching. You want to know what the terps is, you know, what the CBD levels is, what the THC levels is. So that really ain't got nothing to do with the dispensary too much or the street sales. It just depends on the knowledge of the smoker. So if you know 27% of THC is what you tolerate and what your tolerance is, then you got to know, okay, if the dispensary got a 15% THC flower, then you go get you some concentrate, which is like some hash or some crumble, and then that about be about maybe 15% THC. So if you put that crumble on top of the watered down weed, now you got you a super high. So it just depends on if you know your milligrams, your THC, you know, percentage, and what they doing. Now let me say this: as far as it messing with our minds, you know, and growing weed. It's kind of impossible to really taint weed with toxified stuff because it's going to kill you right away. You know, if the weed is not going, you're not going to smoke it and then it's going to linger and you're going to have it in your system for a week and you're going to die. If they got some bad weed, you're going to die right away. So that's what I want to say about that. But that's just my knowledge of it and where I come from. You know, I don't know. Y'all come from different places. So that's just Ali.
Right. Well,
I'd
like to let Valerie say something, gentlemen. Thank you.
Yeah, Michael, just real quick. Thank you, Ms. Andrea. I just want to say something to you guys. I want to play devil's advocate here for a second. Okay, so Mr. Mooney made a very, very good point about what's going to happen, you know, when so much of this is legal because they're making good money off of it. Do you guys think this is why Kim Kardashian has been given authority to help these inmates, like the woman, what was her name, Alice Johnson? She was serving a life sentence for drug possession. Now she's trying to help this guy, Chris Young, who's a 30-year-old man, and he was serving a life sentence for cocaine and weed possession. It just seemed like everybody who they're helping was in the business. So are they trying to, this is again a conspiracy theory, are they trying to get these people, you know, to kind of stir the pot, get these, pull these drug dealers out of the woodwork so they can keep putting people in jail? Are they trying to get the contacts? Do you guys see where I'm going with this? Like,
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying earlier. It's not legal in the feds. It's only legal in the state. So it's still a federal offense.
Right, that's it. It's
no,
still
but I mean,
federal.
Do you think
state
she's
and
being
local.
Used, though? Do you think she's being used to get these big drug lords out of jail?
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
I think the two stories that I think you're referring to is Alice, the lady that was incarcerated for transporting some 63-year-old weed.
63-year-old lady.
What the administration was doing was softening up the public and saying, okay, we want to pass this prison reform because this person was away from our family, and to add a human face, also an African-American face, to the incarceration problems for, you know, minimal sentencing for weed. So when they pardoned her, which the Obama administration tried to pardon her as well, but it didn't go through, it added this human side to, okay, weed is not a drug problem anymore. It's acceptable. This lady was away from her kids for 20 years for just transporting a couple of pounds of weed. So I think that's what they were doing when it was stirring the pot, bringing it to the forefront of American attention.
Oh, wow. Good insight. Wow.
Okay.
That's,
I like that.
But I think
if I
recall correctly, she was also incarcerated not just for the movement of the drug, but also that there were some deaths that were involved during her activity of being a player, you know, in this. Now, to answer that quick question, I haven't smoked any weed, you know, anything from no dispensary or anything. I'm just going by what I did in the past. But I think Ali had kind of touched on it as far as what the quality of the weed. You know, you can take and make different strands. Holland, over in Holland, for years, for decades, the government has been selling weed to the public, which they call a commercial brand. You know, it's a lower. It's almost like the difference between Coke 45 and Heineken. You know, you're still going to get drunk or get high. But Holland has been doing this for years. But then some people say, hey, look, you know, I buy the commercial brand from the government just to get high. But then if you want a higher quality, then yeah, you go to the underground to get a different strand of weed. And there's so many different strands. You know, so it's based on the quality, as Ali had said, you know, how much THC, you know, is in it. You know, there's some people who roll joint after joint after joint and keep smoking and smoking and smoking to get to that certain level of high. But then you get to a different strand of weed, you can smoke one joint, even half a joint, and you're at that level that six joints couldn't give you. So that's all.
Wow.
Well, I think it all depends on where you go. And word on the mouth, you ask people, hey, and that's just like anything. Hey, if you're new in town and you don't know where to go, you ask questions. So it's about word of mouth.
Okay, Andrea. So do dispensaries have good quality weed?
It all depends. I think those that are legal and have been set up the right way, they have a better quality because they have a better access to the stuff, as opposed to a shop that's coming up in the dark, so to speak. Their quality might not be as.
I'm going to go today. There's some places down here in my city in Bakersfield. There's a lot of Mexican communities that are opening up dispensaries around the city, and they seem to have no problem opening up these dispensaries. And I am going down today. I'm going to buy me some weed. I'm going to try it out, and I'm going to let y'all know because I don't know.
Well, it's there again, a friend of mine who I'm going to have, I've talked to him even before the show got started. And I asked him, I said, well, is it that difficult to get in? And he said, it's not difficult, Andre, but you got to have some skin in the game. And he's talking about some money. But the fact that if you have the money, then you're going to get better quality. But if you have something that's you don't have that much money to invest, of course you're not going to get that good of quality. And word is on the wind that years ago it was grown, it was a harvest different. Even the soil was different back in those days, and they didn't have a lot of pesticides, have they do on the product today. And they splicing and putting this bud with that bud and making bubble gum and Jamaica and stuff that even tastes, there's a taste to it, like spearmint or pineapple or cherry flavor. So it's even a market as far as the taste goes. But it all depends on what you want, what kind of high you want. If you sativa, indica, one is body, one is head high. There's even hybrid. There's shake, dirt, all kind of. It's just where a lot of people go today is either Weed Maps or the magazine. The magazine that came out many years ago, High Times.
High Times.
And they just went on the New York Stock Exchange. And I don't, I'm sure their stock is blowing up. They're getting in a magazine. There's so much business right now from Dale's side of it, just talking about the industry. If you want to do the food, cooking, things made out of hemp, the oil,
shampoo,
conditioner,
candy,
candles, and sometimes the edibles may get to your system a lot faster than the actual smoking oven. There's wax, the vapor pens. Wow. But one of the things that's a little bit different in reading articles over the last couple of years in the cannabis, when you go to the shops and smoke, people used to be able to sit there and roll up and smoke and kind of have a little talking out sessions, but once certain laws passed, you had to
buy
your stuff and get out. Okay.
Yeah, they still do that, Mama. They got it going on. I just want to throw this in there. You know, it's also the way they carry the weed, you know, like how it's packaged. So if you go to a dispensary and they're giving you weed out the jars, sometimes it can be watered down because they're letting so many people smell it. Because when people want to go in, they want to smell it. So every time they open a jar of some bomb weed, you know, it loses its potency. So that's why they have to keep it in mason jars. You get you some good marijuana, keep it in a mason jar, a closed-shut mason jar. It'll keep its potency, and it'll be fresh for you. But also, a lot of times they sell these watered-down weed because it's dry. It's been there for a while. As for the fresh weed, the fresh stuff is what you want because they can have some real low-quality fresh weed, but it can be bomber than the high-quality because the high-quality has been sitting up for 2 months. You know what I'm saying? So you got to watch that stuff, too, when you're doing that, you know, on all of it. Just know your knowledge of it. You know, just make sure you keep your knowledge of what you're doing. But also, too, anybody that doesn't have a dispensary that wants to make money on legal marijuana, a lot of these dispensaries, they'll sell you a half ounce for $120 or for $100. If anybody don't know what a half ounce is, that's about $225 worth of weed. So if you can get it for $100, you can go sell, you know, the other $100 that they gave you and make you some money. Think. Be smart. Don't let these people do you in.
Wow, we have a business connoisseur right here on the line. How about that? Okay.
Get that sticky stuff. You got to get that sticky stuff. You know.
You
got to get that moist sticky stuff.
Are you recording the show? For those who don't know what they're doing, this is, sounds like cannabis 101 right here, live. How about that? So you take your Christmas money and make some investment in a hemp stock or a cannabis stock, at least one, and then call up or get in touch with Mr. Daryl Mooney and how you can diversify your monies in other areas other than hemp and cannabis, and we can all go into 2019 and beyond. Happy, no matter what we're smoking or drinking.
But I find it interesting that where you're talking about where you said which we all know that it's still a federal government crime, okay?
Yeah.
But the states are allowing it. And you know, I just kind of wonder what everybody thinks. I mean, what's the chances you think that if somebody or that the federal government will say, okay, we're going to sit back and let these dispensaries, you know, get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then we're going to go in
on them. Do you think that the federal government will probably do that, or that's a possibility, or are they just going to let it go by state and just leave it alone?
You got to remember the 420 rule. You got to remember that 420 rule. We only have so much time before the big tobacco companies come in and take this thing over. They've already,
exactly.
They're just sitting on the edge. They're the vultures sitting around,
mm-hmm.
circling. They're waiting. They're biding their time.
Mm-hmm.
As we said on a previous show, and if you don't know what this 420 rule is, anybody on the line know what that is? I got to look it up myself, but I'll become more familiar with it. But it's something about the cannabis industry. We only have so many months or years left before the tobacco companies come in, so we really have to hit hard and make a dent right now before the federal government and the other part of legalization comes in. And when that happens, you can forget it, because cigarettes will be replaced.
Well, I kind of find it interesting that most of your tobacco producers or growers are like in, what, Virginia, the Carolina areas, right?
Correct.
Because of the, you know. So now they haven't legalized it in those states, correct? So how long do you think
for?
It would be? Huh?
So what are they waiting for?
Yeah, I kind of wonder how come it hasn't been presented. Or you know what I mean, on one of their propositions or whatever to try to legalize it. Because you would think that the tobacco companies would really push it at this point so they can get a piece of the pie, especially in those states.
The tobacco companies are secretly investing in the cannabis industry.
Mm-hmm.
When you know tobacco sales and cigarette sales are dropping drastically because of vaping and the industry, tobacco industry as a whole, because of the health risks, are beginning to lose dollars. I was just watching a news special where all these dairy farmers in Wisconsin, they have switched their priorities. They are now growing marijuana, but they got to meet certain tests. Their marijuana specifically is for medicinal purposes, but they are priming the fields for when it becomes legal. They will be at the forefront of the suppliers for major tobacco when they make the transition. And you know major tobacco already have a comparative advantage because they got the mechanisms in place along with the advertising in place to just package the marijuana cigarettes. You get your menthols, your longs, your 100s, and you ship them out to the dispensaries or the distributors.
Wow. Is vaping healthier?
I don't think so.
Well, actually it isn't.
Because there are some other chemicals in that oil.
Yes.
Well, it's not the oil itself. It's the machinery of the actual cartridge. You know, the vaping cartridge, it's a machine. So it's like it's worse than using the flame, you know. It's going through a machine. The oil's fine, you know. It's just whatever it does to make the smell go away, it's got something to do with how it go in your body too. So people need to watch their vaping stuff. You know what I mean? Really be careful about that.
So that sounds similar, say, for example, for those people who smoke a weed in a pipe, and they say when you do smoke weed in a pipe, the best lighter to get is Bic. Because when you're, and I'm not promoting anything at all, I didn't say that, some of the fumes from the lighter, you're ingesting that. That's why they say
do it
with the top brand.
Right.
But they're
saying,
whatever,
you know,
we're not supposed to smoke anyway. I'm not trying to.
Well, it's just the way it ain't really
grown,
what you do.
We're not.
It ain't really what
to
you
smoke,
do.
Period. Anything. I'm not. But there again, that's. But we do.
There was one exception
grown.
To that policy, in the United States, on most of your Indian reservations, because it's part of their culture and religious belief, they are allowed to smoke to contact the spirit world. They smoke natural herbs, and weed, and they've been doing it. The first thing they did when a white man came to take their land was
pipe.
Give them a peace pipe, and
hey,
they smoked a peace pipe.
What
the dick was in that peace pipe?
Me smoking peace pipe.
Yep. And
we
wanted to connect with the spirit world. What did they do? They smoked herb, a weed, or natural herbs. That's where we get the term herbs from, natural weeds and herbs, in those peace pipes.
Right, right. Now, see, the Indians also – The Indians also knew how to protect their lungs, though. You see, so when they go into their spirit is telling them how to smoke. See, it ain't really what you do, it's how you do it, and then the knowledge that you know after you do it. So if you know, you know, like the Indians, they know bananas, you know, helps the lungs 65% to be able to breathe. A lot of folks with COPD don't even know that. They don't know nothing about the bananas and how much it can help your lungs. But, you know, the Indians knew that back in the days. You know what I mean? But this I want to say this real quick. I want to say this real quick. You know, they're not giving permits to people in the communities because they know that the people in the communities are going to be the ones that profit for it. So they don't want to let the people in the communities have the dispensary licenses to open up shop. They're only giving those licenses to particular people, like many of you guys have said, the government, sending people in those towns, making sure they got a permit so they can control who's getting the money and where it's going. You know, so that's what's going on. The tobacco industry, they're not going to put up themselves in the limelight. The tobacco industry is staying way in the background and letting the other people funding those people like Daryl Mooney do with funding people's businesses from the background and seeing what they're interested in and helping them get loans and stuff like that. Well, that's what the tobacco industry is doing with these marijuana dispensaries, you know, and they're being smart about it because just like anybody that's black, you know, if you're black, don't go out there and say I'm the first black owned. Go get you a Chinaman. Let him be the forefront for your business. When you get rich, then come out and say, I was the first black owned. Because when you come out with that first, they're going to shut you down. And that's all they're doing out there. They're shutting us down. But they can never play our game on the streets better than we can play it. So if you know what the ounces is, if you know your milligrams, go get them dispensary weed, buy it from them from cheap, and go out there and make you some money since they won't give you a job, since they won't let you have a permit to run a dispensary. Run your own dispensary like you've been doing since the late 60s and 70s. My black people, I love you.
Well, you know, I find that interesting that you said that because I saw an article just recently, earlier this week or last week, I believe it was, the late part of last week, where this guy, this brother, you know, was on hard times and everything. And actually, a guy did assist him in starting his own dispensary. Maybe you guys can look it up. But he did assist him in starting his own. So, you know, whether how long it's going to last, I don't know if they're going to, you know, allow him to stay in business. But he did get somebody or someone went ahead and funded him to start his own, to have the brother start his own. Because as you just said, Ali, they're not going to give us anything. And, you know, and I said this many, 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 many years ago, that it was only a matter of time before cannabis, marijuana, weed, whatever we want to call it, would become a legal product. They just had to figure out how to make a profit. That's all they had to do is how to make a profit. And I find it interesting, as the gentleman said, that the tobacco companies are standing by. You know, at some point, it's going to be legal in many more states. Many more states, I believe so. You look at prohibition, which you spoke of earlier with alcohol. That was something that you couldn't stop folks from doing, is drinking and everything. I mean, look at the Kennedys. I mean, the father of the matriarch of the family, I mean, that's where he made his money, from bootlegging, you know. And they saw it was just too much money to be made. And that's what's happening now. They're just looking at how do we make this legal everywhere. But they're going to control it.
Well, it's been legal. To be quiet as it kept, marijuana has been legal since the 80s in the medical field because they've been given what they call Marinol. It's THC in the pill. And people have been having licenses to smoke since back in, as long as I know, it since back in 1986, 87 is when I seen my first medical marijuana weed card that somebody had. So, you know, they've been making money, and they're just doing it under wraps. Now they make it where other people can make money. Because you got to understand, the so-called United States is owned by one of them rich folks, man. So they want their money now.
Well, now it's becoming recreational. So.
Exactly. And
I think on the last week's show,
wasn't it Maine was the first state to make it recreational for everyone? I know it's legal in Colorado as well. So I think Maine is one of the states that's making it when it went over 21. And I think it's going to take on the same path that the legalization of gay and lesbian marriages took. Once it becomes a firestone in all these various states, then it's going to become federalized. and everybody's going to have availability to it. And that's when big tobacco is just going to come in and sweep up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they'll
what we should do, for those of us who have land, either bought or inherited, if we want to make some money and we don't necessarily want to get in that business, why don't you rent out a part of your land and let somebody come in and grow the crop? But break
exactly.
it off a little bit of it before they go to harvest. They're doing the same thing when you have a house now, especially here in Southern California. You have a house and you have a garage that you're not using. They can come in and help you get that garage ready so you can rent that out as a living space for somebody else.
Amen, sister.
Which can make a,
that's the real deal, what you just
the,
said, right there.
Help with the homeless. So why can't we
exactly.
do that in other areas with the land if we don't know what to do with it? Rent it out. And with one of the, and or lease it, lease with option, just like property or land or cars. So why not do the same thing with hemp and marijuana? But I do want
right.
to think,
well,
if you're in an area that allows you to do so,
yes,
I'm sorry.
I want a special thank to our kings that called in today, Mr. Daryl Mooney, if he's still on the line, hopefully he is, Pastor Michael Gay, Mr. Raymond Dickerson, and Ali Ali. Thank you for the callers in the chat room and online, and for those who didn't raise that one. It's okay. At least you're going to be walking away with some information that you can start using today and put in your goals for 2019. Invest in a stock. Write jokes. Go get a job at a cannabis facility. And or think about making your own clothing line out of hemp, shoes, or start a funding campaign for a hospital. They're doing a lot of research in the hospitals now with hemp and oil and things for curing for epilepsy, and it's just it would really blow your mind when you really sit down and maybe do an hour or two research instead of watching idiotic TV and learn some things about that's changing the neighborhood altogether, changing the face of the neighborhood, changing the business of the neighborhood. And this is one way that we can help bring economic development, jobs, and thriving communities with this industry. We can't get around it. We can't run from it. It is here, and it's here to stay. What do we do about it? You jump on the horse and ride out into the sunset with your joints or whatever you smoke. And at the end of the day, everybody's happy. I just want to say, don't smoke and drive. That is law, at least here in California, that don't drink and drive. That's buzz driving and smoking while driving. You can still get arrested, and if they don't. Even the cops smell it. That's you. So you don't want to go in just because you made a stupid move. Stop in the car. Go somewhere. Go to a park or somewhere and do your thing, and then come down and then start operating that motor vehicle again. But be safe during these holidays and into the new year, 2019. Hopefully we're all on the same page. And again, my kings, Daryl Mooney, Pastor Michael Gay, Raymond Dickerson, Ali Ali, in our chat room and online, and for those who are just listening in, I thank you. Anybody want to give up their social media? For me, please go to Hemp Day Live on Facebook and
Here's
hit us up there. Let us know that you enjoyed the show. Please go ahead, one at a time. Please give us your social media contact.
Yes, contact me at www.MooneyBusinessAndBank, that's MOONEY, businessandbank.com. Watch our 12-minute video on financing And then if you enjoy what you see, you can leave your information, and I will contact you. That's MooneyBusinessAndBank.com. And you can contact me online on Facebook at Daryl Mooney Page, King Papa Moon. Daryl Mooney, King Papa Moon. And you can hit me up on email, MooneyStar@Hotmail.com, MooneyStar@Hotmail.com. Thank you very much. I got to go. But thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
And, Daryl, I did send you that article. Thank you, Daryl.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye.
All right.
And I'm next, Ali, you can reach me at Raymond Dickerson.
Is this Raymond Dickerson? Thank you for calling
yes,
in today.
Dickerson.
Thank you so much.
You can go to RaymondDickerson.com, RaymondDickerson.com, or you can just Google Raymond Dickerson's Command and Control. I should populate the page. All my links are there, my social media as well. And enjoy talking with you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, my king.
Yes, you can reach me at Ali on Facebook and God Rap Man on Twitter. And I just want to say I don't sell weed. I don't promote weed. The only reason why I use marijuana is because I was beat down by the LAPD. I use it for pain. I'm a medical patient, not a recreational smoker. And let you guys know, you guys be careful out there. Use your mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Ali. Okay,
well
I want to
say that
Pastor Michael Gay.
See
Pastor
you guys
Michael
on
Gay.
Well, first of all, I'm not really a pastor, but you can reach me on Facebook at Michael Gay or the Michael Gay Show that airs every Saturday here on the J. King Network. This Saturday, we are going to have to rebroadcast because we're going to take a Saturday off before Christmas. And also, you can reach me at www.SheldonGay@APT.net, and you can reach me on Twitter at Dan, yes, TRIPODSTANDBOOM, just the way it's spelled. And enjoy the show. Appreciate it. And I'm not a pastor.
All righty. Well, there was a little note that came across my desk. And
I know where it came from.
I have to call them as I see them.
I know who's in it.
So if
okay.
That's a little secret in the background, I don't know nothing.
Okay, so Valerie.
Hallelujah. Some answers, finally.
All right.
But I just want to thank my partner in crime today, Ms. Valerie Denise Jones. Thank you so much that the women held it down today, even though you men came in online. You did come in, so hopefully in our next time we see you on the other side that it's going to be Hemp Day Live every Wednesday. Hemp Day Live is not Hump Day anymore. It's Hemp Day Live. I am Andrea James, your host, and I want to say for me on social media, it is Town Crier Gal, and that's TOWNCRYERGAL, Town Crier Gal. But let me just say, we had some laughs here, so I just wanted to leave. I'm going to keep my day job, or day jobs, should I say, and that ain't just over broke. I am a very successful person, as we all are in our own right, and that's how we have to think about it each and every day, each and every step that we make, that we are the best that we can be. So everybody that was on the line today, thank you for showing up with your purpose. Okay, a couple of little jokes here. What does a mermaid smoke? What does a mermaid smoke?
Seaweed.
What does a mermaid smoke?
Seaweed.
Oh, stop it. Darn it. Okay. All right. You got me on that one. All right. Here's one for you, Mr. Smarty Pants. What do you call a pothead that doesn't inhale? What do you call a pothead that doesn't inhale?
A teapot?
Pothead.
What do you call a pothead that doesn't inhale?
A teapot?
Mr. President.
I didn't inhale. I smoked the weed, but I didn't inhale. Yeah, okay. Maybe some 45s you're smoking. Get a little lightheaded. Get a little more sense under his cap. Mm-hmm. All right, for all of us who are still on this line, I want to thank everybody. And as we go into 2019, that it be the best year yet. Thank you for all your input today. It was wonderful, exciting. And there again, when plan A don't work, you plan B. And just remember, it's Hemp Day Live, not Hump Day Wednesday anymore. Even when my brother would call and say, Andrea, it's Hump Day. I said, no, not no more. I call him now and I say, hey, brother, it's Hemp Day Live. So we'll see you on the other side. I'm stealing that line from Miss Valerie Denise Shaw. Excuse me, that's another Valerie I know. Valerie Denise Jones, I'm stealing those lines. We will see you on the other side, and we are so thankful that you showed up today. We are out of here.
Peace.
Let me bid you good night.